page 289 in the Radak Pasuk Dalet. Hayishag Aryeh Bayar Lepeirusheinu Bepasukoidim Yeh Peirushoi Derech Mashal. According to what, if we continue the theme that we learned until now, it's just a metaphor. Kamoha Aryeh Shlo Yishag Bayar. Yes. Okay, let me turn it up on. Okay, better now? Okay, better now. Okay, good. Can you hear me now? Sprint. Hayelchu, we're up to Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 289, Pasuk Dalet, Hayishag, Aryeh Bayar. Does it ever happen that the Aryeh, the lion, roars in the forest and those in its vicinity are not terrified? Hayishag Aryeh Bayar v'teref ein loy. What does this mean? We had different perushim in the past. Let's see how we read the Radak says.
I'm sorry, but the reality is that the lion, I mean, on the shows that they show, on the animal story, they say that the lion is roaring at that point to let everybody know, this is my piece of meat, don't come near
me. My territory.
This is mine, and because what happened is the other animals who... the left dog, the lion leaves over a lot of stuff there, and when he's finished, the other animals, the scavengers come in and they pick away, whether it's right,
hyenas
or birds, they come and pick away, but until the lion leaves, everybody knows it's
his territory.
His piece of meat.
His territory.
Hyenas and jackals.
So let's see, Halisak.
This is my territory.
This belongs to me. It's my territory. So let's see inside. Leperushenu v'pasuk ha'kodim yeh perushoi derech mashal kamocha ari shlo yishag v'yar shlo yeh loy teref. A ari does not give out a sound unless it already has succeeded. Ki b'shmoy ha'chayos kolo yamdu b'mukayma mipachtam loy. Okay, is this exactly what it said in the Mitzudos? When the animals in the area, the territory of the lion, when they hear that loud sound, they are terrified. That terrified results in them being paralyzed. V'yavoy v'yitref mehem, and then the lion proceeds and tears them apart. Asher yirtze, es asher yirtze, ki oyev b'voy, same exact thing is going to happen to Klal Yisrael, ki b'voho aleichem, when the enemy comes upon you, lo yoshev reikam, shlo yarek bo, o shlo yishbem yikem. Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael a warning that when it's going to happen, the enemy will arrive. When Nebuchadnezzar will arrive, or when Sancheriv will arrive, and will give out his loud sound, it is inevitable. It's going to happen that he will succeed, and there are people that are going to die. People in Klal Yisrael are going to die, they're going to be captured, there's going to be a very great sorrow. This is a reality. Do not think otherwise. Just like when a lion gives out his loud roar, it's a reality that all of the other animals in this territory are paralyzed and the lion proceeds to rip them apart. It is a reality that when the lion arrives, the lion is Nebuchadnezzar, or we're referring to Sanhedrin, when he arrives to go and bring to bring punishment to Klal Yisrael, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no way to escape. The only thing you can do now at this point is do teshuvah before he arrives. Next words in the Radak, again on page 29, the very last paragraph, Hayitin kefir, ho'inyin kofel, b'miloy shonos. This is exactly the same idea, this poetic repetition. V'hachocham Rabbi Avraham Perash, Rabbi Avraham, who is Rabbi Avraham?
Ibn Ezra.
Ibn Ezra, okay. He says, Hayesh minig v'aryeh sheyishag rak al tarpoi v'ani sh'ak dichinam. So he's going back to the previous pasuk. Does it ever happen that a lion roars only al tarpoi? Sheyishag rak al tarpoi v'ani sh'ak dichinam. I'm not sure what he means to say by this. Is there a minig? Let's see the Ibn Ezra inside. Hayelchu hiskir that pasuk dal hayishag moshel acher hayish pasuk dalid page 289 pasuk dalid in the Ibn Ezra hay moshel acher hayish minig bo aryeh sheyishag rak al tarpoi. What does that mean? Only al tarpoi and nothing else. Vanishoak dichinam, and I Hashem are going to roar for no reason. I'm not sure. Let's I want to go further. Let's leave it for now. Let's just go cover some ground today. Next.
But you're a lion roars. You think I'm not going to do anything about it?
But what does it mean? Rak al tarpoi. What does that mean?
That's the only thing he roars about. I roar about a lot of things.
So what is the nimshal? What's the nimshal? Okay, whatever.
Yeah,
a lion roars about a lot of things. So Hashem is upset about a lot of things. I don't know. Let's just look for it. Vani shaakti chinam v'oida harisim ha'ayi shayal misubkoi besitei kola al tarpoi shayuchal limolid miyadoi. Did you ever see a lion, anyone escape from a lion? When a lion, when it says the lion is giving a loud sound, it doesn't just mean he's giving a loud sound. It means that he's involved in his hunt. Did you ever see a lion fail? Im kein eich tuchu limolid migzeirasi, just like a lion never fails. They have a 100% success rate. Yeah.
This phrase, this paraphrase actually, Allah aryeh l'sivcho, is
Nebuchadnezzar.
The most frequent pasuk cited
in reference to by Yirmiyah, in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so here he's just telling us, have you ever seen a lion that's giving it a loud sound and he's coming out, he's on a hunt? Mm-hmm. The reality is, a lion has a 100% success rate. If it sees something that it wants, it's within its reach, it gets it. It gets its way. Maybe that's why it's the king of the animals, the lion. It always wins. Win, 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 win. You'll get so tired of winning, you don't want to do it yourself. Sound familiar? So lions win.
They only roar when they're hungry.
Okay, that's the other perush. The other we only have the perush, but at least in this perush, he's just giving a new insight. There are many perush what it means, the roaring.
Powerful voice.
This is a medrash that talks about a different type of lion. But in any event, this Hashem is saying that just like a lion has a 100% success rate, do you think I am any different? I'm the one who created the lion. And if I am upset at Klal Yisrael and I give out my roar, I'm going to punish Klal Yisrael. Do not think you're going to escape. You're going to outsmart me. Next, Radak, on the next page, on page 291, Hatipa Hasipol Tzipor, the next mashal, the Zerah Hamlet, a bird falls from the sky into a trap. For Hinei Mashlach, or another metaphor. Ule Perushenu Hu Mavur, it's self-understood. Ki Lo Yoshev Oyeh Me'alechem Reikam, the enemy does not come back empty-handed. In other words, that just like when you find the bird is in the net, it means that there was a plan put into motion to trap the bird, and it resulted in success. If it results in success for a boss or a dam, how much more so will my plan to trap you, to punish you, will also result in success. You will not be able to outsmart Hashem. The achocham. He's an entirely new interpretation. He's quoting there Ibn Ezra, is that a bird is beyond the reach of man. Man can only go that high. And hasipol tzipor al pach im einenu lemoikesh vihine hatam ki adam yuchal b'sach bu loisav uve ormosay lahapil hatzipor shulamal mimenu. He's telling us over here that a man has talent. Man has to his advantage technology, and with his technology, he could accomplish the impossible. Al achas kama v'kama Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who has created everything, he can certainly accomplish things that you never in your wildest imagination think can be done. V'hinei ani l'mailo mikem. You think you're so smart. You have invented all of this technology where you can accomplish things that no one could have ever imagined years ago. Guess what? Hashem says, I am even smarter than man. If you, man, can go and send someone to the moon, you can create all this technology, you can hear, you can see things that that are impossible, I can do the same. Like that's what the Chofetz Chaim says, today we have the technology, Ayin Roiv Ein Shamas. We all know that all of our telephone calls, everything, everywhere we go, we are being watched. Everything we say is recorded. Everything that we do is seen. And the only question is, does the government want to take advantage of what they know about us? But are they collecting this information? It's almost certain that they are. The laws, the only thing is, the laws prevent them from actually prosecuting us and from and taking this information that they have and harming us. There are laws in place that prevent them from abusing, but the information is there. There's no doubt about that. And even if you'll tell me that the information is not there, which is very, very, they have the ability by just flipping a switch to certainly monitor. They can do this even already 30, 40 years ago. They were doing this type of stuff. So you can only begin to imagine what they can do today. Okay? Rav Meir told me all the spooky stuff about that when you type on a keyboard, every time you just press on a keyboard, it gives off an electromagnetic signal. So if someone has a typewriter, has a keyboard over here, and you're at the other end, who knows, even very far away, when you press a key on your keyboard, there's a teeny, teeny little electromagnetic signal that naturally comes out of the keyboard when you press it.
Okay.
If you have the right equipment, you can pick up every single thing a person is typing. Mm. And this, they can do this already years ago. Can you imagine, what? 20 years ago you can do this. Can you even begin to imagine what they can do today? Okay, even on my smartphone, I was testing this. It's very, very fascinating.
It also gives off an impulse.
Everything. I have over here. Everyone can download this.
Yeah.
An electro. Today there's a lot of talk about what's called EMF, electromagnetic field, and how it affects our health. And today, wherever you go, there are Wi-Fi signals. Is that healthy? That in this room right now, there are probably, I don't know, tell you right now, look what it says over here, how many Wi-Fi signals are there in this room that I can connect to. Now, I need the password to get into them, but is that healthy that in the airwaves there's so much electromagnetic things flowing through the ear? How does that affect our health? So, you know, on this every smartphone you have electromagnetic detectors, you can see exactly how much electromagnetic pollution there is in the air. When you go near an outlet, it spikes like out of the, and you go near that thing on the top of the speaker, it's like off the charts of what's coming out. And if you have the right equipment, you can pick up every little thing that's going on. Ayin, Roya, the Oizen Shamas. The Radak over here is telling us it's not good for us. It's not good for us. It's very not good for us. And the effects of not being good for us are not even known. Are really not known. There are certain. It's a serious thing. It's they just released a brand new study. The government came out about the dangers of radiation from putting your cell phone to your ear. So they say, they come now to the Maskana that yes, the radiation of an average cell phone can kill a rat. But it can't kill a human being. Now, it's not very comforting to know that it can kill a rat.
The rat population is higher than it ever was.
It's not very comforting. We should give them cell phones. We should give them all cell phones. It's not very not very comforting to know that they've come to, for years already, in denial that it's harmless. It's harmless, this, that. Now they've come to say, you know, we've done a lot of studies and we acknowledge officially that cell phone radiation can indeed kill a rat or a mice. But don't worry, Rabbi Isai, it's not strong enough to harm the average human being. That's not very comforting to know that it can kill a rat, you know? Okay, very good. What? Okay, you don't hold from this. I don't.
What are they going to do? They're going to put a rat in a room.
They've done studies and they put mice and rats in intense.
One of my friends in Barry Lon has been working on things like this for 40 years.
So what does he say?
What?
What does he say?
Yes, some not.
Every person has a different sensitivity, vulnerability. We don't know. It's really not known. What appears to be more and more is everyone is different. Everyone, there are certain people that are immune. No one really knows. It's too difficult to. But one thing it does appear to be, what comes up more and more, every person is different. There are people that are immune. They have a much greater threshold to these things don't affect them at all. And there are people that are much more sensitive. We don't know why. We don't know why some people can actually sense, and under a microscope, you can see the cells are different when they're exposed to even just regular cell phone radiation. We really do not know. But that's not the point. The point over here is, Radak over here is telling us, who invented all of this technology? A human being. A human being invented this amazing thing that in the airwaves, you can do amazing, you can see, you can hear, you can accomplish incredible things. We all know it to be true. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, guess what? I'm even smarter than you. If you can do this, I can do even better. So don't think you're going to outsmart me and be able to use your technology to hide from the Ribbono Shel Olam. What's all he's trying to say over here, it's a very powerful idea. It's really, and the mashal over here is when we started this whole sugya, we started comparing it, we started focusing on the, what do we focus on? We focused on the six different mashalim. And we try, we just mentioned there has to be a different dimension, a different element that each one of the mashalim is trying to bring out that is unique. The Radak here, in one way, is telling us that when we deal with the birds is symbolic of, look at that, a human being cannot go to the sky. It's not natural that a human being can go and capture a bird. A bird flies at the sky, we are here on the ground, how do you think you're going to be able to reach up and take a bird? It's impossible. The answer is man has invented technology where he can capture birds. He has created technology where he puts things in the sky, nets, this and that, whatever the technology is, to do what would otherwise seem impossible. So what is that being used here by the Navi against Klal Yisrael? If you're such a chacham, and you're able to go and capture birds that fly in the sky, that are out of your reach due to your technology, don't you think I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can do things even greater, even more sophisticated? And be aware of all of the averos that you're doing in secret. And when you try to outsmart me and think that you're not going to be punished, when the enemy comes, you're going to have all these tricks and tools at your disposal to send away the enemy. You think you're going to outsmart me? If you can do the impossible, how much more so can I do what's even more impossible? That is his message. The Ein Lochem Chochma Negdi. There is no Chochma Negdi. How then can you think you're going to escape the mokesh, the stumbling block, meaning the bait, shegazarti lochem sheti tof subo, that you will ultimately be trapped in? The mokesh, what is the mokesh that we're referring to here in this pasuk? Hu ho'oyev, this is the enemy, Nebuchadnezzar, or this is Sancheriv, shatzav elovay alechem, I will command you to come upon you, v'al tachshavu ki achrei bo sheyalem yalechem ad hinakmo mikem. Do not think that After he comes upon you, he'll change his mind. He'll just come and he'll scare us and we'll send him on his merry way. We will flex our muscles and do things that will scare him away. You're making a big mistake. It's not going to happen. Do you think that the trap will be released, will be removed? Do you think that when he comes upon you, when he casts his net upon you, do you think you will be able to remove the net and escape? The atam ani amidenu lehotzer lochem. It's the reason why he will not escape is because I will insist that he succeeds. Pasuk vav im yitaka kitagumoy im yitka shofar bekartot below zimne. Now here he's telling us over here the shofar, the targum adds in a very funny expression, not in its right time. What does the Targum say if the shofar will be blown not in its right time? V'om lo yecheradu, and are people not going to be terrified? What does the Targum mean by that? The simple understanding of the pasuk, as we mentioned many times, is we have a watchman. He is standing in a tower, in a fortress. He's looking out with his binoculars far away. Is anyone coming? Will anyone come and attack Klal Yisrael? And he sees the enemy is coming, he sounds the trumpet, he sounds the alarm, and everyone runs into their bunkers, into their basements, into their battle stations to prepare for the war. That's what it means. So what does it mean over here when the Targum says, if the shofar will be sounded not in its correct time? What does that mean exactly?
Maybe too late, no.
The Om Lo Yecheradu, and the people will not be terrified. No, they'll be sounded too late.
Because it's not the right time.
What do you mean it's not the right time? So when is the right time?
When Mashiach comes.
No.
When Mashiach comes.
Right. So then you know.
There may
the right
be regular
time,
intervals.
Okay, let's see what he says. The Targum. A lot of the Mefarshim they discuss this. This is something which has opened up among the Mefarshim comments.
You don't react to it because it happens so often.
You don't react to it because it happens.
It happens too much.
Let's see. Beloy zimne. Okay, let's see what he says. There are different interpretations. Over here, the Radak says kloimar. He's giving us his understanding. Kloimar, Mr. Cohn, your battery has Mr. Cohn, your battery is gone.
Kaput.
Energy Bunny, the Energizer Bunny, is tired. Advertisement. Kiloimar. That was sponsored by Duracell, Rabbi Isaiah. Thank you, Duracell, for that sponsorship. Kiloimar. Kipa Amim Rabbis Yitaka Shofar Bu'ir. Many times the shofar is sounded in the city. Shelo Yecherdu Ha'am. Kigoyim L'Simcha U'L'Shirim. It's the same tool. Okay, the tool that, it's like you send out an email blast. Okay, a text blast. The tool that you're going to use to inform people is usually used for good news. We have good news to tell the Olam.
Shofar when it doesn't rain in
well, that's a tzara. That's a tzara.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but that, you blow the shofar in the town square.
So that's called beloy zimne. Right. There are times when the shofar is sounded in the community for good news.
Yeah.
We have a good announcement.
To inform
people good things. L'simcha, for joy. U'l'shirim, to sing. O'y l'hakil ha'am. Al takonas divrei ho'ir. Rabbi said, don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote in the midterm elections. You send out news through a shofar, okay? So today,
Erev Shabbos,
six koilos for Shabbos, exactly. Lefichach tirgim beloy zimne. She'ein bo'ir achas me'elel. What happens if it happens when they blow the shofar in the wrong time? That it's not supposed to happen. Now is not the time when they're supposed to blow the trumpet. Obviously, something is wrong. They're blowing the trumpet because it's bad news. How then can you not be terrified? So the mashal over here is, just like when the shofar sounded at a time when you do not expect it to be blown, so too when Hashem brings punishment, Hashem sends the Navi to warn you not to averos, how can you not be afraid? How can you not be terrified that the words of the Navi are emes, and Hashem is angry, and there is going to be divine retribution? Okay, now we have to see a little bit more. Let's see the Imtiyah Rab. Now this, we all, everything, Hakol Helech Al-Makim Echad, all of the six metaphors lead to this last pasuk. Imtiyah Rab B'ir V'Hashem Lo Yasa Perish. V'eich Tachshavu Shatibol Rab B'irchem B'Shaloi Asa Isa HaKel Yisparach. There is no such thing as a coincidence. If Rachmana Litzlan, we witness bad news, an event that is not pleasant, it's because Kadosh Baruch Hu has sent it to us. The Navi has said it will happen. This follows the theme of the Radak, and that is the entire, and Rashi as well, Rashi in the second, Rashi in one of his Perushim here. The entire theme of these Mishalim is to tell Klal Yisrael, to warn them to take the words of the Navi seriously. If the Navi tells you something, he's not fabricating this information. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put a message into his mind to relate to you. Take it seriously. Just like all of the six Mishalim that we have expressed are things which you do take seriously. When you see the signs, when you see it, when you see an event, you know what is coming. You know the natural cause and effect. You should be aware that when it comes to Nevuah, it's the same thing. If a Navi tells you something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Take the Nevi'im seriously. That's the focus, the thrust of the Radak's interpretation, as well as Rashi, as we learned yesterday. Now let's see the Malbim. Going back to the Malbim, we'll discuss, come back to Blazimli in a few moments. Let's see over here what it says, these Vipsukim, back to Pasuk Gimel. Back to Pasuk Gimel in the Malbim. That's back on page 288. Let's try to work through the words very quickly. So the first thing the Malam tells over here is that everything that we have just learned and we spent 2 days on, from Pasuk Gimel to Pasuk Tes, is all an introduction. It's an introduction to what's coming next. What is the purpose of this introduction? So Omar, Sheyedu She'onsham Einoi Mikre Rak Hashkocha. You should know that what I'm going to tell you, the earth-shattering news that I'm going to reveal to you, starting with Pasuk Tes, is it is the Yad Hashem. Don't make the mistake and think that anything that happens in this world is just a coincidence. I'm going to tell you amazing things that are going to take place in this world. You should know it's the Yad Hashem, Midah Keneged Midah. You are responsible for your actions. And here he goes. Ki Ayelchu, and now he begins to tell us the Hakdama, the introduction to bring out the point that everything is the Yad Hashem. Here, Moshe number one. If you see two people walking on a road in the middle of the night, in a dangerous alley, that it happened by accident, that these two people just happen to want to go to the same place at the same time and need to travel through this dark alley, they prepared in advance to travel together for protection. So that's exactly who said this interpretation. This is what it said in the Mitsudos David. Not like Rashi. Rashi, we learned, that beautiful Rashi with the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhan C, taught us that it refers to who are the Shnayim? Shnei Nevi'im. Can it be that Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, who live in different parts of the world, who do not see each other, do not know from each other, they're delivering the same exact message, Mila B'Mila? The fact that their reports, their words are exactly the same, their predictions of the future are exactly the same with such detail, can only be that they have received a divine message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So just like when the prophets are, obviously, they're telling you what they're saying is a nevuah. Take their words seriously. The Malbim is not going down that path. The Malbim is going to pasuk on a very simple level, identical to the way we learned from the Mitsudos David. It's just look at this world. Look at the simple events that you see on a daily basis in a very simple, mundane world. Go at night. You see two people walking down the street, 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, just an accident? They got there walking together? You know good and well they got there because they planned to travel together. So he's giving a little more bear than the Mitzudas David, and by telling us is that when you're going to witness that many nations are going to join in an alliance against you, that itself is a revelation that it's the Yad Hashem. When there's a war, Hamas, all the various wars that Eretz Yisrael had in its state.
I have your sefer.
This is mine? This is? No, this is someone else.
Sorry.
It's fine. So when this is the very fascinating thing that when we witness all the various wars, okay? The Yom Kippur War. Who fought it? Who was the Yom Kippur War? Egypt on the west, and Syria on the east. What does Syria and Egypt have anything in common? Nothing. They have nothing.
They were once together.
Why were they together? They're only together against us. Against Israel. That's the only reason why they got together. That's the only reason. They really have absolutely nothing to do with one another. Their interests are very different. They have nothing in common. So why is it that I'm just giving you one example, the Yom Kippur War, did they form an alliance? Did they communicate secretly with one another to launch a surprise attack on the state of Israel? It must be, it's the Yad, so the Malam is saying very, very profound. It's the Yad Hashem. It's the Yad Hashem that two entities that have nothing to do with one another should want to join together. And attack Klal Yisrael. It's not easy to understand because Adaraba, when you have a common interest, so you put aside your differences and you join together. The Malbim is telling us something very deep, which you have to think about what exactly this means. It's not so. Al derech hateva, the differences that nations and entities have are so great. Al derech hateva, it's not worth it for them to come together just to cause Klal Yisrael tzar, to go to war against Eretz Yisrael. It's just not worth it. The difference of these two entities and in general in the world is just still too great. It's still too great. And okay, we hate Israel. Okay, halacha biyodenu, Esav soyne Yaakov, and you can apply that to the Arabs as well. But our hatred for the Jewish people is not enough that we should come, put our differences aside and come together for one common goal. So why then do they do it? The Malbim, in his understanding, obviously you can argue this point, you can debate this point, this itself is a revelation from Hashem that your suffering is the Yad Hashem. That's a very deep idea. Okay, you tell this to the secular Zionists, they're not gonna accept this. Their hatred for the Jews is great enough that they'll put aside their differences to cause us pain. That's what someone who is irreligious will say. That's what they'll say. But the Malbim is saying that's not true. That's a lie. That's a big lie. The differences are too great. Al derech hateva, study other nations. Other nations, we don't find, you have to really know history, you have to understand. The other nations will not come together to bring harm to an enemy because the differences between the two nations are just still too great. They're not going to come. Yet when it comes to Klal Yisrael, we find over and over alliances are formed to come and harm us. And he's telling us it doesn't make sense. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated that it should be in this fashion, it should not just be one nation alone rises up against us, is in order to speak to us and to show us that this is the Yad Hashem. And therefore, do teshuva. If you'll do teshuva, you'll have an opportunity to ward off your enemy.
You saw this in the Six-Day War, because there was like five enemies getting together, Jordan,
and they have nothing to do with one another.
What did you see? You saw them get Hussein put his whole army under Egypt. They were not enemies.
How is that interesting?
It's not apropos.
No?
But this is idea.
This during World War II also, there were all different kinds of alliances and good, bad, you know, all different things.
Esav and Yishmol. Okay, Hitler, Yimach Shmol, met with the Mufti.
Yes.
Okay, and so what does Esav and Yishmol have to do with one another? What do they have to do with one another? What do they have to do with each other? In modern times, it doesn't make sense that he should go. Hitler should go meet with him. It doesn't make any sense.
No, he met with Hitler.
He came to him. They met halfway. But there's another time. The Mufti. He's like the head of all the Arabs.
He stopped there in Israel.
Okay,
he sealed the escape.
You have to bring in some historians who really know this stuff inside out and discuss different events in world history and take this Malbim and throw it at a world-renowned mumcha in history and challenge him to develop this idea of the Malbim. Malbim is saying something very, very profound. You get a PhD thesis for such an idea if you can prove it, right? If you go and you can take this idea and study world history and show, cite chapter and verse, proof that differences between entities are greater than their hatred for a third entity. And you will not automatically come together, put aside your differences for the common goal of accomplishing something.
Start with Ammon and Moab.
Ammon and Moab, right? Rashi says that. Ammon and Bilam. Midian.
Bilam.
Well, you're talking about Midian. Midian, Rashi says. Midian and...
Midian and Moab.
Okay, we don't know the differences between them. Rashi says, you're right, Rashi says that they hated each other, but they came together in order to bring harm to Klal Yisrael. But we don't really know, maybe their hatred was greater than their differences. But in modern times, we do know.
Where do you see these unnatural alliances?
Okay, so that's the question. Why are they unnatural? To a secular perspective, they'll tell you, well, it has to be natural. Because why would they have done so? You have to now prove what the Malbim says is correct. It's not natural. Cite other examples in other nations and then focus on the economic and the social differences between various nations and show that they're just al derech hateva, they're too far apart that they should want to come together because of their common hatred for the Jewish people. And yet they did. And yet they did. It's not normal. Why is it not normal? The Malbim says, Hayelchu Shinayim Yachtov, Bilti Im No Adu. He's fatashing the pasuk to mean, does it happen that two entities, two nations that have nothing to do with one another, they should come together unless Hashem is the one who brought them together to show his hashkocha, that he's coming here to warn Klal Yisrael, you have to do teshuva. Okay, it's a very complicated idea. Let's go further. Pasuk Dalit is Hayishak. Now we go to the Hagdama Shnia. He's calling this the second introduction. When the lion roars in the forest, it's a sign. It is a revelation that he has found food. That this refers to what it says in the end of the later, that the king of Sancheriv, Ashur, he will go and he will attack the Aseres HaShvatim and he will succeed. When the lion gives out a loud roar, this is a revelation that he has succeeded, according to the Perush of the Malbim. Not like we learned in the Mitzudas that says that when the lion roars, it's a method, it is a technique to proceed into the future. When the lion wants to go hunting, the first thing he needs to do is to shut down the defense forces of his victims. And how does he do so? He terrorizes them. He paralyzes them by instilling terror in their hearts through his loud roar. That was the perush of the Mitzudos David. But the Malbim disagrees. The Malbim says that the loud roar of the lion is occurring after he has already succeeded in capturing his prey. Ukvar mavor.
The lion, the roar is like his comfort? Like,
yes, it's like satisfaction, exactly. Right. Satisfaction.
I was once in the zoo and I heard the lion roaring.
Yes.
It's really very terrifying. Really, really was. Maybe because he just ate.
Could be. It says, Ein ari noyim ela mitoich kupa shel bosa. We learned that, right? Obviously, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. The lion roars in advance as a technique, a method to achieve its goal, to shut down the defense forces of its intended victims, and then when the lion succeeds in capturing its prey, it also gives forth a loud roar and satisfaction of what it has accomplished. He writes over here, it's already known in the second line in the Malm Pasuk Dalit, end of the line, it's known from the scientific books, the secular knowledge. Now he's coming over here to explain the difference between the Aryeh and the Kefir. The Kefir, when it's young, does not have the confidence to go out into the forest to hunt. So what does it do? It's a coward. It stays at home in its lair. How do you pronounce it?
Lair.
In its lair. It stays home in its lair and it waits and it peeks out the window and it waits to see a victim, a potential victim, pass, in, a vulnerable creature, march in front of its door. And then when this vulnerable creature, unsuspecting of what's inside of this little hole in the ground, walks by, the kefir, the baby lion, it's a coward, it comes out and rips it apart and eats it up. That is what the kefir does. But when the kefir does this a couple of times and gets a little bit older, it develops confidence and then becomes bold and brazen and leaves its natural habitat and goes out into the forest.
That was one of the parents to learn to hunt.
That's part of the process. And then it goes out. So these are the two different stages. The two different stages of the lion.
Why are they hungry? Because they're
They're waiting for their food.
They're waiting, very good.
They're waiting. Only the kafirim are hungry. But the lions, they're easy. It's whenever they want. Rak yeshev basuko lomo lomoy erev. To go to lomo erev. Erev means ambush. It's a coward. It lies in this little hole in the ground, whatever it is, this little cave, and lies in ambush waiting to attack a vulnerable creature that will pass in its front yard. Le'echol ha'chayos ho'ivrim olav. V'yalze omar hayitein kefir koiloi mime oinosoi. That's why it says here in this pasuk dalet, the word mim oinosoi, only by the kefir. By the aryeh, it says the yar. Because where does the kfir give forth its voice? In its mim'oinasa means in its abode. In its shasimcha b'mo'ina. The word mim'oinasa means in its abode. In its cave. Whatever we call that
is,
little that lir. Whoever lives. Ad shehiskin, until the lion matures. V'nikra aryeh, and then it gets a new name. A shinui hashem from a kfir to an aryeh. And it goes out into the fields, into the forest. Will the aryeh give out a sound in the yar? Now he's saying over here a very powerful nimshal to this mashal, that we suffered from the hands of Ashur both when we lived in Eretz Yisrael and when we were sent into exile in Chutz Li'aretz. So Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael is compared to the kfir mime oinoson, the kfir in its abode at home, and when we were taken into Golos, that's compared to the aryeh. We're compared to the aryeh in the yar. We compare to the yar. Now the enemy over here is we call the enemy over here the kfir and the Nebuchadnezzar or Sanherib. They're the kfir. They've caused us harm when we were at home. We were living in our natural habitat, Eretz Yisrael. And then when we were taken to Golos, well, you think it's over? You think the Nebuchadnezzar just took us out of it? He killed, destroyed the Klal Yisrael, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he took us into Golos. You think it's over? And in Golos, you build palaces and you have a good life. It wasn't over in Golos. You were slaves. You were slaves. You were tortured. You were persecuted in Golos. So that's where the Aryeh is causing us pain in the Yar. We're now in Chutz Li'aretz, so we're in the Yar. And the Aryeh, we're in the forest. And the Aryeh are our enemies. They're causing us pain in Golos. Those that are living in Eretz Yisrael that are suffering from terror that occurs in the land itself, that's compared to when the kfir is causing pain, mime oy nosoi. This is the beautiful nimshal of the Malbim. Who could say this other than the Malbim? Unbelievable how he learns, how he translates the words, how he explains what the Metzias is, and the Nimshal, how he so perfectly shows how the Mashal corresponds to the Nimshal. So now, so the Amalitza, what's the message? What is the Nimshal? Shebein, Masha Shogaleh Mahashog Bi'artzam, when we were still living in Eretz Yisrael, he entered and he controlled our lives. Ube Masha Lokar Mehem Bimimimoinosoi, Bi'artzam means when he took us into exile. This that he did to us when he took us out of Eretz Yisrael, relocated us to Ashur. He tortured us there, and in fact, the Aser Sashvatim, as far as we know, disappeared. Also, what he did to us when we were living in Eretz Yisrael, he invaded us and he caused us pain here. And he gives you the exactly quotes the story in history. Hoshea ben Ela went out to greet him. Okay, there's a whole story there. We went to spend some time on this. The Malam, actually, it's one of his favorite stories because the Malam keeps on bringing this up. The Malam keeps on bringing up the story when Hoshea ben Ela, he went out to, he thought that by surrendering or bring good to Ashur, that would satisfy him and he would not exile or cause harm to the Jewish people. That was a mistake. Hoshea ben Ela, Vayatshrei, what happened? When he went to visit Ashur, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashur put him in prison. He captured him. And he threw him into Beis Kela, into a torture chamber. Shenilkad mi'itoi, kenilkad min ha'kafir, because in that instance, the king of Yisrael, Hoshea ben Ela, was captured, just like a kafir captures its prey, mime oinosoi. Ki oz bo el gvul ashur b'shnei eile ein and the ki oz bo el gvul ashur. Because then, and at that point in time, we then went out to the next stage, was we went out to the Gvul of Ashur. B'shnei Eile Ein Miyodim Atzil, Kamar Yitzir translation, but basically means, and then later, what did he think of Ashur do? He took us into exile, and he tortured us there. So that's the two Misholim of this Pasuk. There's the Aryeh Bayar, and there's the Kfir Koiloi Mim Oinosoi. This is not, as some of the other commentators taught us, poetic repetition. Each expression is very precise, and we're referring to one enemy, the enemy of Ashur. He harmed us when he came into the land, and he took us into exile, and then did more harm. Now, let's go further. Next Malbum on the next page. Malbum continues on page 291. Hasipol Hakdama Shalishis. All the various introductions to what's about to come later. Is it possible that the bird fell out of the sky for no reason? If you see a bird lying on the ground, obviously it was intercepted. It was intercepted by some type of trap. You will find in the trap the bait. You're going to find the reason why the bird fell into this trap, because there was bait and the bird flew in that direction. If you walk down the street and you see that there's a nest that is spread on top of the ground, and in the nest is fluttering, there's a net that is spread on the ground, and the net is fluttering, it's not because the wind is blowing, it's because underneath the net there is a bird. How did the bird get underneath the net? It was trapped. How did it get trapped? Because someone set up the trap on the roof and put bait in the trap, and the bird fell for the bait, and it was caught, and it now came crashing down to the ground. Bivadai lochad ezedover v'zechitzah, and this is a message. Al mash yomah mipasuk gimel ve'elach shemash nilkedu yisrael biad melech ashur choyelo sibo shezechoyel lochem l'maykish k'moy shiyov yivar asham. Likewise, the nimshal is that when you see Klal Yisrael trapped under the net, it's because they've done an avera. It's because the bird took the bait. What's the bait? The bait is the sin. It's the same thing that the Radak said. The Klal Yisrael is compared to the bird, and the bait is the sin. We have been trapped in our own averois. And that's the reason why the net came down crashing upon us, and we're now in trouble. Because we did ourselves in. We consume, we live with our chet, with our averos. Next pasuk vav, Hagdam Harvis, the fourth introduction. In Yitakash Abir, Shah Shoifar hu simin shecher bo al arts. The shoifar is a siren that trouble is coming. A short sarois habos achachi efsha sha'om lo yecher radu. The prophets are the ones who are blowing the trumpets. The prophets are warning us, shape up, because if you're not going to do tshuva, trouble is coming. And what did we respond? It's a coincidence. Everything that happens a coincidence. Don't take anything seriously in this world. What is a coincidence? Just a coincidence that people are being out of suffering. So why don't you wake up? Why is it that when it comes to other matters in life, you're able to see the cause and effect? You're able to understand why did this happen? It's because of A, B, C, D. There's an analysis, there's science, there is a full understanding of cause and effect. But when it comes to religious matters, when it comes to your suffering, you don't connect the dots. Oh, it's not because I did an aver. It's not because we're doing anything wrong. It's a coincidence. It's just chance event. Why do you have a double standard in life? For everything in your life, you're able to connect the dots. Except for when it comes to your averus. That is no connection of the dots. You're hypocrites. If you're so sophisticated to see the cause and effect in every dimension of your life, you should be sophisticated enough to realize that the averos also trigger punishments. That's the thrust of the message that we're learning, that all, basically everyone is on the same line. Now, before we go further, let me just tell you a little bit of a drush. I think Dr. Friedman really was touching upon this, and that is, there are two times for the coming of Mashiach. There's the coming of Mashiach, Be'ita Achi Shena. Mashiach Zechariah, the last pasuk, right? The last pasuk in Zechariah, have Shabbos of Haftorah of Erev, of Shabbos HaGodol. Ani Hashem Be'ita Achi Shena.
That's Malachi.
Not Shabbos HaGodol?
No. Malachi is
Shabbos HaGodol is Malachi, yeah.
So maybe it's Malachi. So maybe it's
Malachi. No, it's in Zechariah. Sefer Zechariah.
Okay, wherever it is.
Right,
Shabbos HaGodol is Sefer Malachi.
Ani Hashem Be'ita Achi Shena. In its right time, I will hasten the Geula. Chazal Avadrasha. There are two words. There is the word Be'ita, and there is the word Achi Shena. Be'ita means there are two times when Mashiach can come. Be'ita in the proper time, in the correct time. And then there's Achi Shena. If we merit, Hashem will hasten the Geula. The Geula will come. The Geula will come before its time. The pasuk over here says, if the shofar shel Moshiach blows, be'ir, when? Va'omlo yecheradu. Are the people not going to be afraid? Now, what does this mean? So I'm just thinking out loud with you, because Dr. Friedman really seemed to touch upon this idea. Rashi over here says, im yitka shofara bikarta biloy zimne. Va'amod daba lo yizu'un. Will they not be shaken to their core? The word yecharod, the next week's parasha, means to shake. Like a lulav, you shake a lulav and esrog. Ono Hashem hoishiyono. You shake the lulav and the esrog. You shake the lulav and the esrog. So now, everyone is aroused. Everyone's curiosity is aroused. What in the world is the Targum Yonasan doing if the shofar blows in the city below Zimne? There's really no satisfying answer. The Malbim, the Radak, tried hard to give us a parish. I don't know if you're really satisfied.
They blow the shofar for good things.
So now they blow the shofar for something unexpected. Doesn't make sense. Why are they blowing the shofar? It must be something horrible happened. There's bad news. This is a pshat that the Radak injects into the Targum Yonasan. No one else makes a comment on the page why it says b'loy zimne. And is that really the only pshat in the pasuk? Perhaps what over here it's alluding to is the coming of Mashiach. And when Mashiach will come, there's Be'ita and Achi Shena. Here I have to ask the question. Which one of the two will we be shaken up? Will there be Charada? Now first we have to ask another question. Is the Charada a bad Charada? Or is the Charada a good Charada? Doesn't sound like it was good. He saw the Pischoy Shel Gehenim open up in front of him. He gave the brachos to the wrong person. But sometimes Charada is good. But sometimes it represents Yir Shamayim.
Yeah, it's a response. It's not good or bad. You know, you're trembling.
So let me ask, if Mashiach, let me ask you a question. If right now, at this moment, the horn, the Mashiach, you get a text. Abayisai, Amber Alert, Mashiach is here. Right now, all the cell phones go off, emergency system they've put into place, they've tested already 20 times, and scared the life out of United States citizens, okay? 208, right? 208 today, no one even knew 208, 208 that day, everyone's cell phone went berserk. You understand that day? 208, it was 2 weeks ago, 208, every cell phone in this country buzzed. Somehow the government knows how your cell has a trigger. It's an amazing thing how they have a trigger to cause your cell phone to ring, whether you like it or not. Whether it's on vibrate, whether it's on, because they have some. It just goes to show, Big Brother, someone is watching us. Okay?
It doesn't have to be on for them to know where you are.
That's another issue. Yeah. But whatever it is, they you get a text, Mashiach is here. Well, how would you react? Would you be afraid? Would you be in a state of charada? Probably yes. Why? Because it's unexpected. Why is it unexpected? Because it's not be'ita. If let us say the two zman, there's be'ita and achishana. Be'ita means at the end of days. At the end of days, I'm thinking aloud with you. What I could be saying is total not probably
the
is.
End of days is.
But when it says the end of days, it would appear. Listen, hear me out. It would appear that the world, if we don't bring Mashiach now, prematurely, achishena, if we don't hasten the geula, the world will evolve in a way where mail it's going to happen. And we're almost going to be like prepared for it to happen. Because look, we all see today, the world we live in today is much, much closer naturally. I'm not talking about supernatural to Mashiach. Look, the whole world today has an understanding of that there is a creator. You can't deny that. In God we trust appears in every coin, every dollar bill. The United States economy controls the world to a large degree. And go back in the time of Avraham Avinu, there's only one person who knows is a Ribbono Shel Olam. It's him against the entire world. So what is it? Al kein nikavel Hashem looking lirois mehera b'siferes uzecha lihavir gilulim in aretz v'olilim karosi karesim. L'sakein olam b'malcho shaday. Is the world naturally closer to the fulfillment of what it says in Aleinu today, more today than in the time of Avraham Avinu? Today it's infinitely closer naturally to Al Kein Kavalcha, because the whole world is to a degree a sophisticated world. We understand a little bit that is Ribbono Shel Olam. The world is progressing. There's a certain laws, there's a certain understanding that not to cause harm to your fellow man. There is a sophistication that the world has today that it did not have years ago. That's a reality. Years ago, it was Ish, Esrei, Eyu, Chayim, Below. It was a pagan world. And the world continues to advance naturally. Now, we don't know how these things work. Everything I'm telling you again is just thinking out loud, is that if we don't bring Mashiach through Kedusha, through Animam b'Emunah Shleimah, through Torah and Mitzvahs and Yerushalayim, the world will naturally evolve to a point where Al Kein the Kavalcha. It's going to happen. It has to be like that. It's Hashem's world. It has it. If that, how long will that take? So there's a tradition, 6,000 years. Is that really true? What does it mean exactly? No one really knows what it means, 6,000 years. Whatever, there's a tradition. By the year 6,000, Mashiach has to come. Which means, naturally, it's going to come. If we're living at that point in time and the world advances, are we going to be afraid? We're not going to be afraid. Because we're prepared for it. We're expecting it. The world is developing. We're going along with the world naturally. But if we are Zoicher, Rabbi Yisai, to daven today of Shemona Esrei, the whole Klal Yisrael would really put themselves together and do Teshuvah. The whole world, you know, the whole world is busy with the internet. They're busy. They don't want to be bothered. They're texting away on WhatsApp. And we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We do Teshuvah. And Hashem says, you know, you deserve Mashiach to come right now. And today, mamish today, right now, the Shofar Shel Mashiach will blow. We would be terrified. But it's a good terror. Because we do know that bringing Mashiach Achishena to hasten the Geula is a benefit. It's a great benefit. But it's also very frightening because we're not prepared to deal with it. And okay, we'll figure it out. We figured out a lot more complicated things. We'll figure it out. When Mashiach will come, he'll right away instruct us, he'll get us with the program. But are you ready today for Mashiach? Everyone has plans here. As soon as the shir is over, everyone has a plan what they're going to do today. Are you ready to disrupt your plans if you get a text message in the next room as the Mashiach is here? You're not ready. You're not prepared for this. You're going to be in a state of terror. And it's a good terror, because we know that this would be much, much more beneficial than waiting 300-400 years, whatever it is, waiting another 200 whatever years for the Mashiach to come naturally, when we're prepared and we right away see how the events unfold before our eyes. Im yitaka shofar bi'ir, if the shofar shel Mashiach will blow in the ear shall Yerushalayim on that Eliyahu HaNavi, the Melech HaMashiach, on that white donkey that comes out of the sky. V'loy zimnei. What do you mean v'loy zimnei? Achishana. Today. V'om lo yecheradu. Would the Om, Klal Yisrael, not be shaken up? to the core, they sure would, and it would be very good. Why below Zimne? Because if Mashiach will come by Zimne, we're not going to be shaking, because it's going to be natural. The development of the world to a matzav of Al-Kain the Kavalucha is a natural sequence of events. Okay, we're going to stop over here.
It's a good editing. But it says you don't know it has to come before.